Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
I was a single parent, so I've been through divorce, and I've taken my own advice. I've applied the science to my life, and it's just so much better than floundering around out there wondering why nothing is working or wondering why the information from my friends and family isn't good enough. It's not working for me.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free.
Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is love factually, scientifically proven methods to dating successfully. In other words, how to apply social science to real life relationships with Dr. Duana Welch. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So as Rebecca just said, we have a very special guest for you today. Dr. Welch is the original Love Factually author and coach. She's known for using social science to solve real life relationship issues. So we know that's going to be of interest to a lot of our listeners out there. Once she had her PhD in psychology, she's been teaching at universities in Florida, California, and Texas for 20 or more years. And she's the original author of the Love Factually book series worldwide. She just showed us the beautiful cover of her recently released Japanese version of one of her books. So her books are not just in the United States. You can get them worldwide. And she's also contributes to Psychology Today, eHarmony, and others. So her books rely on science rather than opinion to help men and women find and keep the right partner. And her client practice is global. She works via Skype and other online technology, so you also can work with her. So, and I just love this little note. She has a little tagline: thanks to science and Vic Harrington, she's happily married. So she's been through the process herself of dating. So we're happy to have you here with us today, Dr. Duana.
Thank you both so much for having me today. This is so much fun.
Thanks so much from me as well, Dr. Welch. We're thrilled to have you today. Your whole idea of putting science, I love the idea of putting science to anything because I think it makes logical sense. And as lawyers, we like things to make sense. We like to have evidence to back things up. And the fact that you've been able to take something that is kind of uncertain, unpredictable. It's sort of an abyss. I have a lot of friends who are looking for the right one, and put some kind of science behind it is pretty incredible. So, and you've had your own single life and dating story before science and Vic Harrington came along. And so you know how hard it is. So can you tell us a little bit about your own story?
Sure. Well, I got into this for purely selfish reasons, which was that...
Isn't that how it always works, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I write books that I needed. They're kind of a wish fulfillment, reaching into my past and saying, here, Duana, please have this information. It will make your path so much easier. And it has. So when I was in graduate school, I had a really terrible breakup where it just finally dawned on me that there I was getting my PhD in research area of psychology, and that possibly there were researchers who had researched just intimate relationships I wasn't in that field, but possibly someone else was. And it turned out there were about 60 years of really solid science available that I just didn't know about because people weren't putting it into books. I'd gone to a library and a bookstore looking for this book, which I've now written because they did not exist. But my initial plan was just to benefit from it myself. And then clients started approaching when they saw that it had worked for me. So that turned into a client practice and then a blog and then my books. I now have 7 books out. 2 of them are in full length versions. 5 of them are condensed, shorter versions. And one of the books is out now in 5 languages. I'm very excited about that. So it's just turned into this wonderful life. But I was a single parent. So I've been through divorce and I've taken my own advice. I've applied the science to my life. And it's just so much better than floundering around out there wondering why nothing is working or wondering why the information from my friends and family isn't good enough. It's not working for me.
You know, I think that's so interesting what you just said about you were a single parent, because we were talking just before we started the taping today, and Rebecca dated as a single parent and knows that there were challenges associated with that. And I myself dated a single parent who I'm now married to. So all of us have our experience with dating either a single parent or being one. But when I talk to listeners or my clients as a divorce attorney, one of their biggest fears is that they feel or worry that being a single parent will hold them back from dating or from finding a new relationship or success in love. So that seems to be a myth, since, you know, the three of us are on the other side of that and have come out successfully. But can you tell us some more about your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one, interestingly, no one's ever asked me before. So thank you for that. Yeah, so your clients are partly correct, but not entirely. It turns out that whoever has most custody has a harder time dating, simply because, you know, those of us who are conscientious, good parents, we need to put a lot of time and energy into that. And so, you know, most of us don't want to get a new partner instantly involved with their children. It's not to our children's benefit for us to do that either. So, you know, we just don't have as much time to date and we have to be more strategic about it. Another thing is, very sadly, a lot of people don't view our children as an asset. They view our children as a liability, and especially if they spend a lot of time with us. So I don't want to sugarcoat this. There is greater difficulty if you have children, which is why I've written this book, Love Factually, for single parents and those dating them, because there are special challenges involved with being a single parent and dating. I had full custody, not on paper, but in reality, I had full custody of my son. And so that posed some challenges for me. So, you know, I address things like, well, how do you make the time? How do you keep from involving your children too quickly? If you're a person who doesn't have children, how do you find time with your new partner that's appropriate? And how do you know if it's even worth it? So there are just a lot of special challenges. I will say, though, as all three of our stories confirm, those challenges can be overcome. You know, Rebecca, you have, you've dated as a single parent. Susan, you've dated and married a single parent. I've done both. I'm married to a single parent and I was a single parent. So, you know, this can be done and it can be done successfully, but I will say it needs to be done with an extra level of care, caution, and strategy, because these remarriages, if it's a marriage or new dating relationships, have higher fail rates than if children weren't involved. So they're just new and different things to know, to be prepared. I've been remarried almost 12 years in a situation with about 80% or higher odds of divorce, and we're happily married. So it can be done, but I needed to learn some things first.
Yeah, I mean, I know for me, even when my husband was first asking me out, I would say to him, oh, you need to go find somebody. This was more than 20 years ago now. And so we were both pretty young, but I said to him, you need to go find somebody who hasn't been married and have had children before, because I did feel like it was sort of a liability. I did feel like it was like a lot just for somebody to take on. I in my mind thought I would find someone who also was married before and had maybe children of their own or something like that. But you know, my husband was persistent and kept asking me out, and it did work out. I mean, it wasn't all butterflies and roses, let me tell you. I mean, it was a lot of work, but you know, we're still here more than 20 years later, so it can work for sure. One of the other things about dating, I think, can be really difficult for people is after they've been married for a long time and they've been with the same person for a long time, what's the hardest part about dating later on after you've been married for a long time? Is it getting naked for the first time, or is it...
That doesn't help.
That's very interesting. I probably would have had a different answer 10 years ago. Facebook and Amazon are now pinging me daily with shapewear ads. So
there you go.
One of them works. I'm 50. Yeah.
It's like they know. No.
I know you can't leave the Spanx on in the middle of sex.
No.
I don't think it works.
Yeah, people have different insecurities. So I've been approached with a lot of different ones, and it kind of depends on, you know, the specific person. But some people are very afraid of being naked with a new partner. Some people have reached a point where maybe they have chronic pain now, and 20 years ago they didn't. And so they're worried about, you know, how is sex going to work out? Some people say, you know, I dated pre-Tinder, so I have no idea what to do in a Tinderized world. Some people just feel like they're so bitter about their ex, or they're still really enmeshed with their ex. It's a really interesting phenomenon that the number one reason that people divorce really ultimately is that they want this relationship with their ex to end. And what research shows is that the relationship for most of us actually doesn't end. The negativity can actually continue and become even worse post-divorce. So there's a process of unhooking and developing a new, more business-like relationship with the ex, which is a really important exercise to go through and to keep up with, so that the well isn't poisoned for your future relationships. That's probably almost a universal right there.
Yeah, that's a conversation I have with so many clients when they're going through the divorce process, is because people do seem to focus on their ex as opposed to their future. There's so much time and energy as people go through the divorce process focused on what their ex is doing wrong, or they did wrong, or what they owe them, or why they aren't being fair, or why they aren't a good parent. And there's very little focus on the future. So I always am talking to them about creating that business type relationship, that they're in the business now of raising their children together, but not in the relationship business anymore. But that can be a hard concept for people to grasp. It's hard for people to let go.
It's really hard. And you know, I always say humans will work for attention. Shamu will work for food. People will work for attention. So if you used to be married, presumably you fell in love at one point and you became very emotionally close to one another, and you probably knew each other's hopes and dreams and shared some of those together, or you would not have married. Ideally, you had some things in common. And now you have this enterprise of raising your children together. And so when you divorce, usually one person, and in heterosexual relationships, it's usually the woman, files for divorce. It's usually not mutual. I know legally only one can file for divorce, but usually only one actually even wants to. And in 60% of the cases, that's a woman, as you know from your own practice, I'm sure. And so normally the person who files for divorce has already done a lot of the emotional work of trying to let go of this. They've done what psychologists refer to as anticipatory grief. And they've gone through that, and they're ready to move on. They may even be ready to date pretty quickly. Maybe, maybe not. Your mileage may vary. But the other person, more usually the man, really is willing to have an unpleasant argument rather than no discussion at all. And so one of the things I work with some of my clients on, the ones who are leaving any ex relationship where someone is hanging on to them, if there are children involved, you know, sometimes marriages come and go, but parenthood is forever. And you need to have a relationship that is more business-like, and the business is collaborating on raising happy, healthy, well-adjusted children. And they will not be happy, healthy, or well-adjusted. And I emphasize health there because children's physical health, we know from science, it suffers when parents are arguing. If you want your children to be healthy physically and emotionally, it's absolutely necessary to turn this around and become more businesslike in your approach. And normally the person who's going to be in control of that interaction is the one who left. The other person is so invested in continuing to get your attention that they will do whatever it takes, including fighting with you, in order to get that attention. So what you do is you become a whale trainer. You know, nobody says to Shamu, and by the way, you can't make Shamu do anything, nor can you make your ex do anything. Shamu's too big, your ex is too old. That's not how it's going to go down. So what trainers do when they work with a large animal, and human beings are large animals. We are animals, and I don't mean to make light of this or make fun of this. We learn the same way. We know these are laws of psychology. We learn the same way as all other mammals. Shamu learns not because somebody said, look, Shamu, you're only getting the fish if you swim to the far side of the tank, flip over on your back, and come back. Nobody says that to Shamu. What they do is, at some point, Shamu will do some of the desired behavior, and he will get a fish, and he will make the connection. I have a cat right now. We refer to her as the brain surgeon because she's an unusually intelligent kitty, but she has back problems. What cat has back problems? Mine. And what you have to do with her is she has made the connection that when her back hurts, if she comes to me and I give her medicine, the back pain goes away. She's made the connection. Mammals eventually make a connection that when they do the desired behavior, they get a desired outcome. So what I want you to do, if you're struggling with this, is you need to make a list of behaviors that you are willing to tolerate from your ex and behaviors that you actively want from your ex. And when your ex gives you any of those behaviors, you need to give them attention. And when your ex does a behavior, you need another list of behaviors you refuse to tolerate. And I would encourage you to add to that list unkindness, disrespect, and any topic that's not directly pertaining to the children's well-being. If it's unkind, disrespectful, or not pertaining directly to the kid's well-being, it needs to be a completely forbidden topic, but don't tell your ex that. Instead, when your ex goes into that territory, you say or write something like the following. It seems like we're getting off topic. I would like to talk with you about Jimmy's baseball schedule or whatever it is. And then if your ex comes right back around to the topic, then you reward them with lots of warmth in your voice and attention. And then if they go back off the topic or they're unkind and disrespectful, you say, it seems like there would be a better time to have this conversation. Let's talk again when it's not so heated. And then you get off the phone. And if they can't control themselves, then at that point you go to email and you keep it all in writing. That's just the way it is. They will eventually learn. My ex, I'm divorced for a really common divorce reason, which is my ex has addiction issues that have not been treated. And, you know, we're still co-parents, though. Even though I've had sole custody for a very long time, the fact is our son is his son. And so, you know, sometimes he still gets really angry about me, with me for the fact that we're divorced. I mean, all these years later, we've been divorced for almost 15 years. We've been apart for about 15 years and maybe almost 16. Folks, isn't this wonderful? I can't exactly remember. That'll be you someday. That's a take home from this whole thing.
Yeah, I love that. There's hope, people.
Yeah, it does. It gets so much better. And so, you know, but he called me recently and he had been drinking and he was very angry at me for ever having divorced him. And I just had to say, you know, we need to talk about Griffin's well-being. And if we can't do that right now, maybe it would be better to talk later. Now, early in our divorce, he would have continued to be really angry and I would have had to simply hang up. Not in an angry way. I would have had to simply say, I'm sorry, I have to go now. But now I said that and he immediately came back, because now we've got a lot of practice with the business relationship. But I will tell you this, if you can't do this, if you can't turn it around to be more business-like, it is going to poison the well for all your future relationships.
We're going to take a quick break now to talk about our newest sponsor, Hello Divorce. Divorce is hard enough on its own. You're thrown into the legal system. You have no idea what you're doing. Hello Divorce understands that, and they offer an affordable, convenient online option for Californians. Easy form preparation, instant access to legal information, loads of articles, affordable, convenient, and low-stress divorce.
One of the things I love the most about Hello Divorce is the sheer number of options that it gives you. When you sign up for your free account, you get access to their curated library of tools and resources, and you also get a 15-minute free personalized divorce strategy session. They have a do-it-yourself option for divorce, but they also have an option that gives you your own legal document assistant who will handle your entire divorce start to finish for you. You can even hire the a la carte services of an attorney. Just to make sure you're on track, without having to pay an expensive retainer, you can purchase increments of time in as little as 30 minutes. So find out more at HelloDivorce.com and be sure to let them know you heard about it at Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast.
Are you struggling with how to manage and handle a high conflict personality? Do you feel like everything you do is futile, or that your words are constantly being twisted? Breaking Free Mediation and Coaching is now offering a brand new coaching program called Coaching Through Conflict, How to Successfully Manage High Conflict Personalities. If you're dealing with a narcissist, a bipolar personality, or someone who's just simply overly difficult, this program is an absolute must. If you are ready to finally break free of this cycle of abuse and conflict, email us at bfmediation@gmail.com so that you can get started today. That's B as in boy, F as in Frank, mediation@gmail.com.
Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on Love Factually, scientifically proven methods to dating successfully, how to apply social science to real life relationships with Dr. Duana Welch.
Forgiveness means that you have boundaries, and at the same time, you let go of your anger and your vengefulness. And in my 20 years of university teaching, the only thing that I taught, where every semester I would get a letter from someone saying, "This completely transformed my life. I am free of years or even decades of pain now."
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including Feels Like Forever, Why Is My Divorce Taking So Long?
The legal process itself, I mean, a divorce, because marriage is a legal status, it is a legal process to end a marriage. And the divorce process...
It's a lot easier to get into than get out of.
It's a lot easier.
And now we return to today's show.
I dated this one guy. I almost can't even say I dated him, because I met him once. That's what happened. And he invited me to meet him for coffee, which is a very good way to have an initial interview, as I like to put it. It's really an interview right at first. And so, you know, I said, yes, let's do that. So we met, and I was super excited about meeting this guy, because on paper, online, he was perfect. We were even the same little 1% of the whole American population religion. We were both Unitarian Universalists. I mean, that never happened. So I was super excited about this. So we get there and we're sitting across the table, and I do something I teach my clients to do, the look, lean, and listen. You know, you smile, you look in their eyes, you listen to them carefully, because you should be interested in what they have to say or why you're there. And people will tell you more if you show that you're interested in what they have to say, and you're there to find out about them. So I said, so, you know, if your ex were here right now, what would she say was the reason you're no longer together? Which is a question you should all be asking everyone you go out with, because you will find out a lot about the person's character.
If they tell the truth.
Yeah.
They will tell you the truth. They will. And what this guy did, the vitriol, the hate, the anger just rolled off of this dude in waves. I actually leaned back in my chair because I could feel it. It was visceral. He talked about what a horrible mother she was and what a terrible wife she had been. And so that told me, okay, he's not past this. And then I said, oh, wow, that sounds like it was really hard, you know. How long ago was the divorce? 10 years.
Oh, I know. I've heard that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, some people never leave it behind. So that goes to what you were saying about, you know, poisoning the well for future relationships.
Yeah. It was funny because he loved the date.
Well, he got to talk about himself and how much he hated his ex-wife. What's better than that?
Yeah, who doesn't love being listened to? We all need a good listening to, right? So he loved the date. I always got asked for a second date because people love when you listen to them. And, you know, you want to listen to them because this might be your future life partner. You need to find out about them and their view on the world. And so he called again and I did answer. And he said, you know, I'd love to see you again. And I said, you know, I don't think that's going to work. And he goes, yeah, that's what they all say. And I thought, well, yes, they do all say that because you're bitter. But you know what? He wasn't my client. He was a date. So I did not try to school him on any of this. I simply moved on with my life.
So if he had been a client, what would you have told him?
Well, I have had to say this to some clients. I've had to say very gently, you know, life is hard enough without us adding stress and distress to other people's lives. So I would have had to say to him very gently, you've still got a lot of emotional connection with your ex. And as long as that's there, it's going to present such a chip on your shoulder. Other women are not interested in knocking that chip off your shoulder. They're not interested in being the exception to the rule or in making it okay for you. What they're looking for is a partner who is open and ready to pursue a relationship with a full heart. And walking that path is going to involve going through a forgiveness exercise about your ex, not with your ex, but about your ex. It's really interesting. So as you know, I taught university for 20 years, and as you may not know, toward the end of it, I learned some research on forgiveness. And I was very reluctant even to go there because who wants to learn about forgiveness? Those of us who've been raised religiously, many of us, myself included, had a big chip on our shoulders about forgiveness because what we were taught to think forgiveness was is saying, oh, no big deal, come back and do it again. Like drop all our defenses and just let it happen repeatedly. And that was very foolish. And it only serves the patriarchy, you know, getting into my feminist speak here, and I am a feminist. I'm all about, you know, everybody should have equality, women and men alike, which is what feminism is to me. Why should women take it on the chin and keep allowing things to happen to them that are unpleasant or abusive again and again and again? Fortunately, science shows that that's not what forgiveness is. So I'm going to tell you what it is. Forgiveness means that you have boundaries and at the same time you let go of your anger and your vengefulness. And in my 20 years of university teaching, the only thing that I taught where every semester I would get a letter from someone saying, this completely transformed my life. I am free of years or even decades of pain now, was forgiveness. It was the only thing. And so what I would have to say to this guy is, to quote an old source, in fact, I've tried to source it and there's no one source I can find. Refusing to forgive someone is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies from it. It's killing you. It's not killing them.
Yeah.
If you want to
They're not feeling that pain.
Yeah. If you want to have a happy life in the future, what you have to do is a threefold process. The first part of the process is give yourself about 18 months to really just dislike this person. That's just the way it goes. Research on divorcing people shows it takes about 18 months not to be triggered by the mention of the person's name. So maybe it is too soon for you if it's less than 18 months. But if it's longer than 18 months, you need to engage with step two here. Step two is to write out or speak even a list of all your grievances against them. Because the truth for all of us is if we're thinking about forgiving someone, there's something to forgive. I mean, they've actually hurt us. I'm not going to gloss over it and say, your pain is irrelevant. You should just let that go. No, it's a real thing. But then there's step three, and this is the step people really resist. I resisted it. Step three is seeing the events through the offender's eyes, your ex's eyes. So, for example, I asked my ex for years to rein in his drinking and drug use. Well, I had to see that through his eyes. I didn't want to because I'm right, right? He should. He should stop drinking. He should stop drugging. Well, I'm right, but that doesn't mean that, you know, being right doesn't keep you warm at night, is how I like to put it. It doesn't make you happy. So I'm right, but when I see it through his eyes, I was asking him to give up something that had made his adult life bearable for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing that happens when you see it through the offender's eyes, and I know we're getting close to time, it happens for everyone, is that they see that it was never about them. And when you see that, you will suddenly be released from your pain. And this is, by the way, not a one-shot deal. You're going to do it over and over. But I can now talk with my ex with no pain at
all.
And that's progress.
So we do only have a few minutes left. This time went so quickly. You're such a wealth of knowledge. But I want to make sure that we at least get in a couple of your proven steps from I wish to I do. And you know, how, what are some of the proven steps in dating to get that person that you want?
Well, one of them is to kind of face your own mythology about dating. So for example, a lot of us think that you have to be happy by yourself before you can be happy with someone else, and science doesn't agree with that. So learn more about the myths of dating and learn more about something called attachment style. And when you understand yourself and these myths of dating better, you will automatically start on a better footing. Here's another one. Most people in America today think that it's codependent to feel like you have a role to help make your spouse happy. You know who doesn't think that? Happy people. Science on happy couples shows that they believe that they are there to help their spouse be happy. That's not codependent. It's actually what happy couples do. That doesn't mean that they roll out the welcome abuser mat or that they're willing to take just anything. They also have healthy boundaries. But you need to learn a lot about what a healthy relationship looks like and what the mythology is that you've probably absorbed from our society that simply ain't so. So that's one step. Another step is to learn how to have a successful date. Learn what the common pitfalls are of early dating and learn how to diffuse those little ticking time bombs early in a relationship rather than later. So these are just a few of the things. Learn where to meet people, obviously. Learn how to date in various contexts, including online. But as you see, the common denominator here is information. Accurate information that we know works for most people most of the time, which is what science is. Science shows what works for most people most of the time. And I really encourage everybody to find that out. It's, you know, I read science so you don't have to. My books don't read like, you know, the death march of information. They read like a fun, lighthearted conversation that happens to be backed up by fact.
I think it's so interesting what you have put together in your books and this whole concept of educating yourself about dating, because we're always telling our clients and telling our listeners that they should be educating themselves about the divorce process so that they don't just float through that or it doesn't just happen to them and get dragged out. But then when you see people get past the divorce, they do kind of jump back into that dating pool as if it's going to be like it was when they were in high school, where a boy's going to call them up and ask them out. And things are so different now that, you know, with Tinder, like you mentioned before, online dating. I think it's great that your books are out there, your coaching programs are out there, because that's really what that is. That's education so that you can be more successful as you go out into what is really a new world and a new territory post-divorce.
Yeah, one of my friends last night was saying to me, you know, well, isn't everybody so different? And I said, thankfully, we're not as different as we want to think we are. And I'm thankful for that because, for example, what if my physical conditions truly were different than everyone else's? Then there would be no help for me. The whole reason that doctors can figure out what goes wrong with me is because it's gone wrong with a lot of people, and therefore they can help me. And the whole reason that relationship science works is that we know what works for most people most of the time. My second full-length book, which is Love Factually for Single Parents and Those Dating Them, is the first book I've ever written where the last third of it is for people who've already found their partner and they want to have this second or subsequent relationship be more successful. Because we know that happy couples have certain things in common, and knowing what those are will help you to set your next relationship up for success. So there's really no need to reinvent the wheel. You can just find out some, and what's really great is the information isn't even all that hard. It's just very counter to a lot of what we've heard before. You can do it.
Such great information. And you have, I can tell it's like the iceberg where we just like the little tip on the top and then there's way more underneath. So where can our listeners get more information about you?
Sure. Go to Love Factually with an F, lovefactually.co. And you will find information about me and my coaching and all of my books. You can get free content there on all of my books. My second book, the one for single parents, it comes with a workbook, which is provided free through that site. I don't even think I require you to leave your email address. If you want to sign up for, my web newsletter, you can, but it's not required. I'm super passionate about everyone having the love that they need and want in their life. And that's really where I'm coming from. So I hope you'll come and give it a visit. And if you feel like you want me to answer a letter, I answer all my letters for free. And if you feel like you want to be a client, I don't do that for free, obviously, but I am very reasonable and because I want to serve so many people and I encourage you to reach out to me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we know that for our listeners who are dealing with divorce and separation, that, the guidance that you're giving and the hope, which is always something that we try to give to our listeners, is going to be something that they will take away today. And we encourage them to reach out and to educate themselves on dating. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's been a great pleasure.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.